you could get a hold of that, to understand it's precious to rescue a sinner like me. You have to be saved even a while before you really kind of grasp really what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Sister Clark. What a great message, and song. Well, I want to give a little attention to the fact that it is Memorial Day. In fact, I tell you what I'd like to have. I'd like to have all the men that you're either veterans or like Brother Martin here, see, he's got uniform on this morning. He's still in service. All of you that are in the service or a veteran, would you stand right now? Would you do that? Let's give him a hand. Amen. God bless you. Over here also, Brother Skip. Yes, amen. Thank you. Maybe seated. I think along with the policemen and first responders and military men, we see in our nation today they're getting a bad rep in so many ways. And I think as God's people, we ought to give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning, Memorial Day. I'm going to kind of deal with the question a little bit. You can't help on Memorial Day, but think about your nation and the condition of it and maybe the history of it and more than anything else, the future of it. And in so thinking, the question comes sometime, is there any hope for America? And I'll answer that, yes, on conditions. Jeremiah chapter 18, and you'll see those conditions. I'm going to read 10 verses out of Jeremiah 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. He's saying, go down there, I'll give you a message. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now the Lord had Jeremiah watch this. Now he gives him the message. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Then he says, and the context is to Israel, but I want you to notice how he kind of gets all inclusive here now in the next three verses. He says, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, doesn't say just the Jewish nation here, even though the first application was to Israel, concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. So now at the instant I speak, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil. I said there was conditions on hope for America. Here it is. Turn from their evil. I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them, of the judgment that I was going to bring. Now look at verse 9, crosses the street. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Did you get the message? The message was, God gives the nations a choice. A choice. As we have Memorial Day, I think of the great price that our men in uniform paid for the freedom that we have and for the great nation we've been born into and been able to be blessed. And I've said it in the bulletin, that freedom is not free. It always has a price. And the truth of the matter is, as we look around today, we see deplorable things in our nation, that conditions we never would have believed, shocking things like this restroom thing that's been in the news now, and 10 states are suing the federal government over trying to force them to go ahead and share the restroom. Make no difference between the boys' room and the girls' room. Who in the world would ever thought that could have happened in America? Schools being sued and threatened, taking the funds away. I saw where there's 51 sets of parents in Chicago, a liberal city, the president's home city, by the way. 51 families of the school trying to sue the federal government because they've opened the locker rooms, the showers, the whole nine yards to both sexes. Isn't it amazing? And some of you, if you haven't done it, start doing it. The boycott on the Target stores is working. I mean, they were one of the first groups to just open up the restrooms to the transgender and to whoever thought there was a boy today and maybe they thought there was a girl tomorrow, and a bunch of nuts and perverts. But anyway, they are now feeling the pinch because decent people are saying no, no. I think it was Don Boyes that wrote a letter this week. And Don, he's preached for us. He said, I'm going to get me a cane or a bat, whatever he said. He said, I'm going to stand inside the restroom door when my wife goes shopping. And she goes in, if a man tries to follow her, I'm going to knock the fire out of him. And I think Don's right, amen. But what in the world is going on like that? I saw where a funeral director is being sued down court because one of his funeral directors in the funeral home has them dressed in suits like they ought to. So this fella came to him and said, I feel like now I've become a woman and I want you to get me a woman's suit. Nuts. Crazy. Awful stuff going on. I saw in North Carolina, by the way, thank God for North Carolina suing the federal government over the issue. But University of North Carolina now, talking about going anti-God, you got to get yourself a signed permit as a Christian on the campus to go witness to anybody about Jesus. Freedom of speech is gone. Our country's in trouble, folks. There's no doubt about it. Just amazing. I got something stuck in my Bible here. It's my filing cabinet. Here's one. This is a House Bill Resolution 569. It's on the floor now. So far, nobody has opposed it. 141 Democratic congressmen are pushing bill number 569 in the House. And this is a bill to make it a hate crime to speak anything against Islam. And the Attorney General is saying to all the local authorities, and I'm reading it right here, that they're to prevent hate crimes and anybody talking like I am talking now, if this bill passes, could go to jail. Islam, it wants to cut off our heads. Flew their airplanes into our towers. And all the bad stuff that they do. And yet I can't say nothing about that. What's happened to our America? What's happened to our freedom of speech and Constitution? Isn't it crazy? I hope, and maybe some of the good guys up there will defeat that bill, but you know what they do with bad stuff like that? They bring it around, and sooner or later, before it's over with, next thing you know, or the president himself just dictates it's a law. Something that no president in the past could do. Something's happening, folks. Something is slipping. We're losing. As we think about this Memorial Day and the price that our men paid through the years for the freedom that we have, and yet we're selling it out from the inside. From the inside. No outside enemy is going to take it from us, but we're surrendering from the inside, and we're bringing the enemy in like a serpent to our breast and holding him tight and letting him suck the very freedom blood out of us that others paid a price for. What a terrible thing. I want to say this. You say, preacher, is there any hope? I want to say yes. When you consider the text, God gave you two sides of the street. He gave you choice. God gave a choice to the nations. We make our own choice. A nation can turn either way, and God said, consequences will be this if you turn this way. The consequences will be that if you turn that way. And yes, there's hope if we turn the right way. If we go God's way, a nation can turn either way. And I like what the text said. It said in the instant. God said the change. Now, let me say this. The Chinese have a proverb that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. If we could make the one step to turn and start going back the right way, back to the old paths, back to what made an America great, yes, there's hope for our nation. But if we continue the way we have turned and keep going the way we're going, no, there is no hope, because God is not a respecter of persons, and his judgment will equally fall when his law is broken. But it could happen quick. You say, well, how do you know it could? Well, let me give you a Bible story, a very real one. I believe it completely like it's written, and that's the story of Jonah being sent by God down to Nineveh. He was hard-headed. God had to give him a ride in a whale before he decided to go do the preaching God commanded him to do. But he did. And when the whale threw him up on the shore, I don't think he staggered. I think he went running fast. He didn't want more of that ride. And he goes into Nineveh, and what does he preach? He preaches, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed unless you repent. 40 days. They did repent. Jonah didn't like it. He really wanted to see God's fire hit him. He didn't care for him, but he preached what God told him after the whale got him spit out. But the city repented. That was pretty quick. They were saved pretty quick. America could be saved if we just turn right and go right and stay right. And we know what the roadmap is. It's God's word. The very thing that's being flouted and balked today is the answer. And it's the only answer. It's the only answer. God delivered America before. Some of my favorite stuff, I see Brother Wiebe sitting out there, and he knows this from history. I'm sure he's taught it to some of these grads sitting right here. But God's intervened in America before. He has saved us in the past. Way back, early days, and latter days. I think about the famous picture of George Washington kneeling in prayer. Listen, God was in him at Valley Forge. God used George Washington crossing the Delaware, crossing the ice in the night, and surprising the enemy. Hey, God had to be it. That was no little thing, but it was a big turning point in the beginning of our nation. In 1746, the French were coming against us. You remember the story? 70 French ships out into Boston, heading for the Boston Harbor. I mean, America, little America, young America, didn't stand a chance. But God raised up a quick hurricane and destroyed the ships. The admiral of one of them, the captain, we'll call him, the leader of one of the ships, got sick and died quick. And they turned it over to the second in command, and I guess he thought the responsibility was too great, so he fell on his sword. God was in that. God was saving America. I mean, God intervened. There was no doubt about it. Then you move the calendar a little further. In 1812, the English come over again. Now, we beat them in 76, but they came back in 1812, and they were whipping the fire out of us. They came into Washington, D.C. They were sacking the city, burning the White House. The president got on a horse and ran for his life. That's not a bad idea with some that's in there now. Wouldn't mind paying on the horse. But anyway, if you go far enough, that's just my opinion. You don't have to enjoy it. I do. War of 1812. They sacked the White House on August the 25th. But then something happened. President's running on a horse. No army to fight. Everything is, they're taking over. They're bringing the cannons into the Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden, the weather does something. Oh, yeah, tornadoes came. Picked up those English cannons and threw them like toys. The rain, the hail, the tornadoes. And some say that when the lightning hit, it burst out into fire. And God alone defeated and sent the English ships back down the channel and saved America. Read it in your history. By the way, young folks, you've been in a school where we taught you right history. There's a whole pile of graduates in America right now don't know what I just said. Know nothing about it whatsoever. And that's too bad. Because when we lose our history, we're losing our foundation. And we're in trouble, and we are in trouble in our country today. God intervened with America. God would intervene again if we do what Jeremiah was, got the word from the Lord here, to turn. To turn in an instant. You see, the remedy for our nation's salvation is detailed in the Bible. Go with me to a scripture you know, should know very well. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Now, I know in context this is to Israel. Solomon is dedicating the temple. But God comes to him during the night and gives him a great promise and a great formula. A recipe, if you please, ladies. God gave to Solomon to bring a nation back. I want to read it to you. I want to talk about it to you just a moment, because this would work for America. It'd work for America right now. In verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 7, listen to it. If my people, now I know that was the Jews there, but God is the same God. And his principle is the same. His word is the same. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, look here. There's four things God said. You look at it right in one verse. There are four things. Number one, he said, humble themselves. Humble themselves. Today, we're not very humble, are we? Today, we're so proud we don't believe God's anywhere around. We look around today and see in our nation slapping God in the face. I saw where they were, you know, the Noah Webster Dictionary, the 1828 is what I use. And Noah Webster illustrated his so much with scripture in that dictionary. I saw now where they're going to print it and leave the scripture out. See, it's not politically correct anymore. That's crazy, isn't it? But humble ourselves today to God. We're not very humble. We look around today and we hear every kind of attack trying to say God doesn't exist. Who in the world would have thought in the 40s and 50s, and World War II was going on, that you'd ride down the road and see a billboard put up by atheists? That would have not been a very popular thing to do during World War II in America. No, we're not very humble today. We mock his laws. Psalms, I said it, I think I used this Psalm Wednesday night teaching a little bit. Psalms, whatever it is, 94:20, I believe I remember. Psalms 94:20 talks about framing mischief by a law. In other words, taking wrong and forced it by law to be done. See, that's the opposite of God's law. God's law is to have good done. Now suddenly man denies God's law, mocks God's law, makes his own law, and enshrines and commands evil to be legally done, legalized. So what are you talking about? Well, how about homosexuality? That's mischief framed by law. I mean, that's exactly what we're seeing today. You talk about mocking God. When I tear his law down and I put an opposite law in effect and I say to people, obey this man's law, forget God. Folks, that's what we're seeing in our land, mocking his laws. Then I notice here it says, humble thyself. Then it says, pray. Of course, not in school, right? Isn't that amazing? I was up at West Virginia there. In fact, at my granddaughter Shay's graduation, and they had a big graduating class. And two of the young ladies, I believe it was the young ladies that was speaking. Anyway, students got up and prayed in Jesus' name in a public school. Praise God. Say they broke the law. Not God's law. Not God's law. Man's law framed mischief. And all over the country today, you'll have students at football games, at graduations, having to get up and break the so-called man's law, government's law, and pray anyhow. And so far, most of them can get by with it. Some of them have had trouble getting their diploma after they did, because they were told not to. And some of them did it anyway. But what have we come to where we can't ask God's blessing on our kids that's going out into the face of the world and try to make a better country? But God said, pray. Now, he said, if you're in trouble as a nation, humble yourself, pray. Then he said, seek my face. I say, what does that mean? Well, God says, come before me, ask me your questions. Counsel with me, not with Facebook, but his face. Not going online for all your answers. How many of you ever tried the Bible, see if you could find some answers there? That's God's word. Say, well, how would I ever get before the face of God? This is a pretty good way right here. Put your face in the book, his book, amen? That's the book you ought to face. And the truth of the matter is, not much of that being done anymore. No wonder we're in a mess that we're in today. Then it says, turn. Turn from your wicked ways. That's where Jeremiah was talking about a while ago. Turning. Turning. In an instant, he'll act if we turn. He says, when we turn from our wicked ways, then he starts telling us what he'll do. First thing he said here was four things for a nation to do. For people to do. Then he said, if we do, here's three things he'll do. Right here in the text. I'm not making it up. You can read it for yourself. 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, then will I hear from heaven. Hear? Oh, do you know, there's a lot of praying, but God's promise is he'll hear. Now, the saints' prayers we read in Sunday school this morning are stored up. But we look around today and we see a lot of fake praying going on. They pray from everything from the blessing on the Easter egg hunt to the dedication of a brewery. It's a joke what they call prayer today. And most of the political stuff is a joke. No, prayer is real when you talk to God, and God said, if you'll do these things, I'll hear you. And he talks about these big three things he'll do. He said, I'll hear you. Then he says, I'll forgive. Boy, do we need that. God is the offended one. Listen to me good. Now, I got a few grads here in front of me. I'm going to say this to them a little bit, but this is to all of us. A lot of parents, a lot of teachers and preachers, friends of you young folks that are graduating, they want to see you the best. Do the best. And if they hear later on, you messed up. You disappointed. You messed up your lives. Do you know what? They'll be hurt by that. Teachers will, preachers will, friends will, parents will. But wait a minute. There's one other. That's God. That's God. What I'm saying to you is, very simply, God is the one first offended when you do wrong. He's the one first offended. He's the one you need forgiveness from before you need forgiveness from parents, from preachers, from teachers, from friends, from fellow students. We're real quick sometimes to try to get right with each other. Better get right with him. And he's saying to the nations here, I'll hear and I'll forgive. And God is the one that is first offended. All sin is first against God Almighty. If you've been untrue to your wife, your sin was first against God before it was her. Been untrue to your husband, your sin was first against God before it was him. Understand that? Kids, you mistreat your parents, your sin was first against God that said, honor your parents. All right, be quiet as you want to, it's the truth.
It's the word of God.
Then he goes on to say, if we do these things, that if we will humble ourselves, if we'll pray, if we'll seek his face, if we'll turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear, then he will forgive, and then he says he'll heal our land. Any hope for America? There it is. God will heal our land if we turn. Take the turn Jeremiah talked about. Take the turn. God's word came to Jeremiah and said, they'll do good, they'll be blessed. If they do wrong, they'll be punished. Which way are we going to turn? On this Memorial Day down here in 2016, I'd like to see our country turn. Anybody is a liar and a fool to say we're going the right way. Politician or whoever, White House on down, we are not going the right way when we're defying God, when we're mocking God. We're not going the right way. We can't ask God to heal our land until we turn his way. The good news is there is hope for America, and we can turn quickly, and in an instant God said he'll change, but we got to make that turn. In an instant. You know, we have stories in the Bible. How many of you remember the story of the Christ crucified and a thief on each side of him? Remember that? Remember, to begin with, both thieves mocked Christ, railed on him like the crowd did, but then one of them repented. One of them changed his mind. And just that quick, remember? Remember what the thief said? He said, Lord, rememberest thou me when thou comest into thy kingdom? The Lord didn't say, I'll consider it for 30 days. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't say, if you can get down off that cross and go join the church, you'll be fine. Didn't say that. If you can get off that cross and go get baptized, No, he didn't say that. He said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Instantly, that thief got saved. He got saved. Oh, he didn't get on a nail from the cross. He died. But he woke up in paradise with the Lord. Do you know, you can get born again. You can get changed in an instant. Yeah. You can turn from your way to God's way. He said he'll heal our land if we turn. Sure, there's hope for America and God, but not as long as we refuse to turn and go his way. I'm hoping today, and I'm not naive about it, but I'm hoping today with all the graduating classes that's happening this time of year, that a bunch of saved, born-again, God-loving young people will go out and make a difference in the world. But if they do, they'll have to go out against the current and against the wind. Much of what even they've been taught, they'll have to go against if they stand on God's side. And I'd say this, we need to ask God to heal our land. But don't pray when we don't turn his way. We don't go his way. Salvation can come quickly to you this morning if you've never received Christ. Right now in your heart, you can say, Lord, forgive me. I'm turning your way. I'm accepting Jesus. You say, how would I know it? You really trust him in your heart. You'll know it. You'll know it. God's Spirit will speak to you. You can leave that seat, come down the aisle, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Walk out of this building knowing what you didn't know before you come in, feeling what you didn't feel when you came in. It's not a feeling, it's a fact, trusting Jesus. But when you get the fact right, the feeling will follow. And it'll be the Holy Spirit inside that will warm your heart and let you know I've moved inside. And when you go back out to the same old trash and garbage, he'll fuss at you about it. He'll grieve you about it. And you'll know it. You'll know it. He'll heal you just like he can heal the land. He'll heal you from the inside out if you give him a chance, and it can happen in an instant. I mean, quick. Paul tells us the rapture can take place as fast as a twinkling of an eye. I want to say to you that being born again can take place just that quick also on the inside. You heard me talk about it before. I'll tell it again. Maurice Rawlings wrote the book, To Hell and Back. He tells so many stories. He was an emergency room doctor. He talked about resuscitating people that had already dead. He brought them back, and sometimes he could save them, and sometimes he couldn't. Sometimes they'd go back and forth several times. And one young man sticks in my mind right now, a young, healthy man, older teenager, young man in his 20s in a wreck. And he'd go out, and the doctor would put the paddles on him and shock him and bring him back. And the young man had come back screaming that he was slipping into hell, saying, "Don't let me go again. Don't let me fall back in there. I was almost in the fire. Don't let me go again." He said about two or three times that happened. And he said one time when he brought him back, the young man said words to this effect. He said, "How can I be saved? And there's some way you can save me." And he said the doctor, who was lost at that time, said the young man was begging him, telling him how to not go to hell. And he said, "I told him, well, when I was young, I went to Sunday school, I learned one verse. I'll give you that verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He said, "I quoted that verse, almost amazed myself that I could remember it." He said, "I quoted it to him." And he said, "I saw him just kind of absorb it like." And he said, "He slipped out again." He said, "I shocked him again and I brought him back." He said, "This time he wasn't screaming." He'd come back and said, "Doctor, it's okay now." He said, "I lost him. He went again and I couldn't bring him back. But," he said, "that so impressed me that I went and got saved myself." He said, "I saw a young man get saved in an instant on one verse, just in the nick of time to keep from falling into the pit." In an instant? Yeah. That's what Jeremiah said. God said, the nation that turns in an instant from the good I purposed, I'll deal with them. They turn from the bad they're doing in an instant, I'll deal with them. This moment right now, in your heart, you can say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. "I give up what I'm trying to do. I give up my will and my way. And Lord Jesus, you love me and you died for me, and I'll believe on you right now, and I'll trust you as my Savior." Try it right now. He'll save you in an instant. In an instant. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, there is hope for America. But that hope is